south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started.
You know, I get lots and lots of emails from lonely heart gringos up in the States, mostly gringos, not too many gringos, though I get a few. They're always asking questions, sending dozens, if not hundreds of emails, asking me about... Well, I'll give you one guess. Mating, dating, sex, relationships. They want tips, pointers, boots on the ground stories from gringos who've had success and who've had failures in the love and romance department. And that's, of course, in reference to hooking up with a Latina or Latino better half. And the truth is, I don't talk about that stuff too much because I don't want to turn this show into a mating, dating kind of gringo-gringa hookup thing. Although, man, wouldn't that be a niche for a cool weekly show? I bet you'd have millions tuning in. Anyway, in regards to that topic, it's true. There are so many differences in the mating, dating, and hookup game here in Latin America versus what you're used to up in the States that I could never do it justice in one or two shows. But since I do get so many emails on the topic, I have to bring it up sometime, don't I? And so today, and maybe in a couple more shows coming up, I'll be touching on some of those sensitive, delicate, and extremely un-PC topics. And as mentioned, since most of the emails on the subject come from guys, of course it'll be of great interest to them. But ladies, don't tune out just yet, because life, for smart and astute people anyway, is all about gathering knowledge, and you're going to learn a few things here. So, ladies, you'll find this interesting too. That means as we go through some of these topics, you'll find out just the extent and the depth of the macho in the Latin culture. You can deny it all you want, but if you just turn on the TV, you can see sex drives almost all marketing and promotion here in Latin America. You can throw Hollywood in there too. Not to mention the top most active internet sites in the world are those mating and dating Cupid sites. Actually, they come in at number two. Number one, porn. All right then, kicking off the Latin connection as far as mating, dating, sex, love, marriage, divorce, you fill in the blank there. I'd like to read this little article that sets the stage for the whole thing. And this English version of the article comes from a longtime listener, likes to call himself Texas Aggie. And originally, this article came out just a week ago in Mexico News Daily. Titled the article, No More, quote, Edicanes, i.e., eye candy models no longer allowed at Mexico City events. All right, that title itself needs a little explanation. The word edicanes, E-D-C-A-N-E-S, is a word that describes a real paying job, more or less a career, limited though it may be, for Latinas, that is Latin ladies, who are good-looking, sexy, and, well, beautiful. In fact, that's the only qualification for the job. Of course, you have to be able to smile and walk straight, take orders, and remain beautiful. So basically, all you have to do is have an IQ of maybe 80 or above and be able to fit into one of those dazzling, sometimes extremely skimpy, skin-tight outfits. And here's how it works. Companies all over Latin America, like Johnny Walker, McDonald's, Kentucky Fried, Heineken, cell phone companies, car dealerships, cable companies, you name it. They hire these girls, that is, they contract them through agencies to have portfolios full of these girls. Then, the big shots in these businesses interview these girls or just look at their portfolios online or whatever and select the ones they like to show up at events and hand out stuff or just look pretty or pose at events with the clients in the crowd. In fact, some of the biggest outfits that hire these ladies on a routine basis are political parties here in Latin America. It's a routine thing. Doesn't that sound just a bit fishy? But it's true. It's part of the landscape here. You show up at any kind of political gathering down here and you'll see all those inbred, pustulant political maggots standing on stage, microphone in hand, making promises they'll never keep. Yeah, they'll have a band, free giveaways, and a Latin disco dance party going. And of course, you'll see those lard-ass, pot-bellied political skunks standing and posing on stage with a handful of those beautiful Edicon ladies. Later, the ladies will be mingling with the crowd and dancing away as the band kicks in, always ready for a sexy selfie. And of course, part of their job is to hand out freebies. You'll see them at political events and rallies, big business conventions, holiday beach parties, and promotional events. If, for example, it's Heineken, Johnny Walker, or Coca-Cola managing the event, of course, that's the kind of samples they'll be giving out. Yeah, that's right. They'll give out free booze even in grocery stores and parking lots. That's Latin America. You gotta love it. Or not. Now, I have to tell you, if this kind of job existed up in the States, for one thing, it could be impossible to find young ladies that would go out there in skimpy outfits and mingle with guys that are often half in the bag from being at a beach party or watching a soccer game, whatever. But then again, up in the States, Hooters still exists, right? So you can find beautiful women to get in skimpy outfits if the price is right. But there's one thing you do have to know. This is a legitimate job. These girls are not prostitutes or putas, as the saying goes. You see, the thing is, for most of them, it's kind of a glamour job with other secondary possibilities. It is a way out, especially for some of the more beautiful girls coming from a small, poor pueblo. It's a chance to meet a higher class of people they never would have come in contact with in the old neighborhood. So the agency will hire them, send them out a couple of days a week to a higher-end shopping center with a Walmart, Costco, whatever. And around election time, they'll get sent out to political events, too. In that case, their job is, as usual, to look beautiful, mingle, and rub shoulders with a higher class of scumbag. And the thing is, a lot of those ladies, well, I shouldn't say a lot of them, a percentage of them actually pull their way out of poverty by hooking up with a guy of means. Scumbag or not, money talks. But unfortunately, since these girls are rarely well-educated and they're young and might have a kid in tow back home, I'd say at least half of them are or were hooked up with the good-looking studly guy in the neighborhood with no education or job prospects either. So it's no surprise that probably a third of these young girls were teenage mothers. Let's face it. When you're the hottest-looking girl in the neighborhood or your pueblo out in the boonies, every moondog out there is sniffing, including the good-looking studly guy with the IQ of Bush Jr. Hey, you remember what it was like in high school, right? The cheerleaders and the star football guys always hooked up. That's a story that's as old as Methuselah and George Soros put together. So the point is that there's a job for beautiful young ladies in every Latin country, and they're called edecanes, not to be confused with the job of being an actual model, though there is some crossover. Because let's face it, especially in Latin America, there's a very limited demand for runway models. They don't get much work. So they take pretty much anything. They do newspaper ads and magazine spots and those tool and machine calendars you see in your mechanic shop. Which brings us back to the fact that at every political gathering in Latin America, they'll hire these girls to hang out on stage with a fat-ass, pusulant politician of the moment. And of course, if you actually know any of these edecan ladies and they confided in you, they'd tell you they hate that kind of work. We're talking about the political gigs here. They'll tell you stories about all the crude politicians. They're forever trying to pinch them and touch them and corner them. And they'll tell you the higher-ups with the bodyguards and the bulletproof SUVs will sometimes offer to be a sugar daddy, even though that political class of inbred pus maggots do have families and kids, etc. It's part of their nature to have a mistress. Some of these ladies, especially the ones that have got a kid packed away with mom back home, they buy into that. Wait a minute. Man, would that be a good sociology master's thesis, following a couple of these girls around and, you know, get the scoop on just what happens behind the scenes. Might make a really good documentary, too. But I digress, as usual. So anyway, this kind of thing, that is, these edecans showing up at different events and such, has been going on for decades. And just lately, with the rise of women in local Latin politics, has there been any kind of pushback on this kind of thing at all? Because obviously, it's the kind of job that just would never fly up in the first world. The social justice warriors up there would burn these girls at the stake. Although, as expat Eddie likes to say, behind every radical feminist and social justice warrior is a woman who longs to be viewed, even for a minute anyway, as a sex object. But too fat, frumpy, irritable, or out of shape to qualify for the job. Now, I don't know if that's true. But I'll tell you, expat Eddie, right or wrong, he knows how to cut to the chase. But you have to admit, there is some truth to the fact that people want to be, or experience at least for a little while, something that they're not. For example, all the engineers and nerdy types that I've known over the years, they wouldn't mind. In fact, they'd probably jump at the chance to change places with the captain of the football team for a day or two just to see what it was like. Which begs the age-old question that goes back to Aristotle. Is it better to be smart and knowledgeable or dumb and happy? What about that saying, I'm sure you've heard it, With great knowledge comes great sadness. Though I think most of the world would elect to be tall, good-looking, popular, and clueless. I mean, look at the Cardassians. Which brings us back to this Etikon business. Title again is No More Etikones. Eye candy models are no longer allowed at Mexico City events. They're talking about political events now. And there's a quote that says, "This job should not exist," says new mayor of Mexico City. Okay, here's the translation. It says, "Attractive, sometimes scantily clad female models who are often employed at events to greet guests or simply act as eye candy will no longer be allowed at government or political events in Mexico City." Then it says, "For the first time ever, Mexico City's mayor, José Ramón Almivira, last week banned the employment of attendants known in Mexico as Etikons, specifically at events sponsored by the local government, stating that this job should not exist because it goes against policies of gender equality." Yep. Here comes the Latin American version of social justice warrioring. Is that a word, warrioring? Well, it is now. Well, at least gender bender politics has not arrived south of the border yet. Got some big lag time on that. But where were we? Oh, yeah. Then it says, "The decision breaks new ground in a country where entrenched gender stereotypes often continue to relegate women to support roles in the workforce." Then Mayor Amoeba is quoted as saying, wait a minute, did I say Mayor Amoeba? Little Freudian slip there, huh? Quote, "Women have a potential equal to or greater than that of men. Any circumstances that may degrade or stereotype women must be eliminated." All right, meet Johnny again. I'd just like to say, oh, Mayor Amoeba, you're so original. What brain power. Then the mayor goes on to explain that women were often on the government payroll working as etikons, and they will be given more empowering roles now, saying a defiance of the ban could result in fines. Wait a minute, wait a minute. Me, Johnny, here again. That shows what an idiot this amoeboid character is. Let's track this a bit. That means if they're going to impose fines, if the government does use these etikons that are already on their payroll, right? Who's going to get fined? Well, the government branch that uses these etikons is going to get fined. So let me get this straight. It would be the government fining the government? Yeah, that makes sense. Duh. And where's that money going to come from? Well, we'll just raise taxes, right? Now, let's get to the crux of this. Why do you think this is happening right now? Well, analysts are saying it's because Amoeba, the present mayor, will be replaced in less than 2 months with Mexico City's first elected female mayor, Claudia Sheinbaum, who says she's committed to ensuring that women are better represented on expert panels at government events, etc., etc. Well, isn't that convenient? The outgoing dickhead mayor Amoeba waits till the very last month of his term to announce that the government will no longer be using etikons on its payroll, though they appeared at every one of his events since he got into Mexican politics in the year 2000. So it's all right for him to have them for 18 years, but his last month in office, prohibido, prohibited. What a fat-ass, two-faced, pustulant carbuncle, huh? And of course, I mean that in the kindest, most Christian sort of way. You know what he's doing. He's just posturing and covering his ass as a new female comes in as mayor for the first time. Because the truth is, Mexican and Latin American politics in general are corrupt to the bone. Like U.S. politics isn't, right? So it's like this. If Amoeba doesn't adequately kiss her ass on his way out as she's on her way in, she won't appoint him to a nice high-level do-nothing job where he can continue to suck at the trough. But where were we? Oh, yeah, back to the article. It says, a group of female politicians held a forum about Mexico City's etikon industry in 2014, concluding that the job is sometimes a front for prostitution for the male members of the political establishment, and that models face precarious employment conditions. It goes on to say, while these etikones usually dress more conservatively at government and corporate events than when promoting products at trade fairs and sporting events, there have been some notable exceptions that have raised eyebrows and attracted much criticism. Criticism. I wonder from who? The men? You think? Then it says, as a matter of fact, at the first presidential debate in the lead-up to the 2012 elections in Mexico, Mexican government electoral authorities actually hired a Playboy model to hand out envelopes to the four candidates. Me, Johnny, again. That kind of makes you wonder what kind of blowback there would be if Trump were to pull that. Remember, we're talking about the government hiring these girls. No, it's not private individuals or even election campaign donation money. We're talking about the government putting these girls on the payroll, as if that's some kind of real government job. All right, then the article goes on to say, Playboy bunny Julia Orion appeared on stage at the 2012 election run-up in a tight white dress with a cutout front that revealed ample cleavage. Meanwhile, it says now, some 6 years later, most people have long forgotten those candidates' pitches, lies, and promises to the public. But they can clearly recall the Edie Khan and her ample cleavage. Me Johnny again. Hey, wait a minute. Isn't that exactly the point you want to make with advertising and marketing? You want to leave a lasting impression so people remember your product. The product there being cleavage, I guess. All right, then the article says, politics and sexual allure mixed again in 2016 when the New Alliance Party held a campaign event in Mexico City featuring four semi-nude young women wearing nothing above the waist but body paint in the political party's trademark turquoise and white colors. Oh, and get this. It says, the announcement of the ban on employment of Edecanes in Mexico City's local government is, of course, being welcomed by female activists, with some saying, only some, that they hoped Mexico's federal government would put the same prohibition in place. You get it? The ban only applies to Mexico City government and government politics. Finally, it says, lady activist Indira Rubio, coordinator of the Gender Justice Program for Oxfam in Mexico, described the measure as a small but very important step for a country where macho attitudes continue to pervade most sectors of society. She's quoted as saying, we need to question as a society why a woman's body is seen as an object. This always places the woman at a disadvantage if her participation in the workforce is subject to her physical appearance. That's not necessarily a good or equitable thing. However, others take a different view. Others being 99.9% of Latin men. For example, Hector Garcia, a booking agent at one of Mexico's modeling agencies, describes the work as an edecán as dignified, saying the problem is some female escorts calling themselves edecanes have hurt the industry's reputation. He also said outgoing Mexico City mayor, that would be Señor Amoeba, his characterization of the job as morally harmful stigmatizes all edecanes working throughout Mexico. And then comes a comment from a lady who's a model and an edecán, Mariel Guerrero Castaño. She says, the mayor should not try to mix what other agencies or other groups are calling edecanes or models when they really are female escorts, she said. There are legitimate agencies being stained by all this. All right, so there you have it, the two faces of machismo in Latin America. So in the end, as Lagtime would have it, women activists are slowly but surely getting their voices heard here in Latin America. Though they're definitely, for now anyway, bashing their heads against that brick wall of machismo. And as far as banning these beautiful girls, these edecanes, from attending and getting paid at government and political events, I, for one, as a libertarian, totally believe the government has no business providing any kind of fun or so-called entertainment on the taxpayer's dime. So yes, I'm against it. But as far as companies like Heineken, Kentucky Fried, Taco Bell, if they want to hire these beautiful edecanes to promote their events, to hand out synthetic pre-digested chicken McNugget samples or whatever, hey, if the girls want to work those jobs for that kind of money, why not? By now, I'm sure a lot of you are wondering just what kind of money we're talking about here. Well, I can tell you pretty much exactly. And how do I know all this? Well, before I got into this podcast business out of New York, you longtime listeners might remember I told the story of way back in the year 2000, 2000. I was hired to be the morning and sometimes the afternoon gringo DJ, sort of shock jock, to be syndicated in various big Latin American markets. Now, believe it or not, and it does seem weird and maybe even a gift from heaven if you believe in that kind of stuff, my three main sponsors all that time were what I call the triple whammy, the three H's, Heineken, Hooters, and Harley-Davidson. Three sponsors like that in Latin America, who'd have thunk, huh? And those were the kind of sponsors that would put on lots of events. And many times they'd ask me to be the MC, the presenter. You know, there were beach parties sponsored by Hooters and Heineken, Harley runs and such. And whenever you have those kind of events, The Etikanas are out in force. And naturally, I'd get to talking to them. And here's what I discovered. Number one, if they're local girls and it's a short gig, they get paid by the hour. In other words, if it's a grand opening of a new bar and they're working 3 hours handing out free Johnny Walker, whatever, the going rate for a short gig like that, it's around $25 an hour. If it's, for example, a full day gig for Hawaiian Tropic and you're at the beach handing out little samples or playing beach volleyball with other Etikanas, that's always a big draw. Then they get paid by the day or the event, which could be, if it's a local girl, around $100. But remember, almost none of them work a full week. They maybe work 2 days, mostly on weekends, or they might be doing the supermarket promotion circuit. That means stationed in an aisle handing out free samples. Or they could be out in the parking lot in a little tent with a DJ and a disco setup, just dancing and handing out pamphlets for a cell phone company or whatever for hours. And maybe on Sunday they'll be at some kind of sporting event, football game, racetrack. They'll get paid by the job there too, maybe, like I said, $100. But there is a strange set of what you might call cultural prejudice or bias going on in the Etikan business too. Turns out whatever Latin country you happen to be in, you'll run into a group of Etikanas from another Latin country. So let's say you're in Costa Rica, you run into Etikanas from Panama. Or if you're in Honduras, you'll run into Etikanas from Colombia. And you wonder, how is that possible? How could they afford the plane fare down and live halfway decently and afford an apartment and a lifestyle and such if they're only working a couple days a week? Even if at $100 a day, $200 a week, it's $800 a month, which is double or triple the minimum wage, that's still not enough to have a nice apartment and live decently, much less have a car. So why, let's say, would a Colombian girl pick up and leave and go to Honduras? Now, when you run into a local Etikan girl, she's usually living at home, or maybe rooming with another Etikan or two to make ends meet. So when you think about it, there's really not a lot of money in it, though when they're all made up and have the skimpy uniforms on, man, they get their moments of fame. And maybe that's what a lot of them are in it for. And the thing is, you know, they're almost all hoping to land a big fish, you know, guy with money. But unfortunately, here in Latin America, just as it is up in the States, the guys with the real money are usually over 50, and they've got families and kids and such, so most of them never end up marrying Mr. Moneybanks, but some of them end up being the mistress of a balding, pot-bellied guy with halitosis, a couple of bodyguards, and an SUV, as previously mentioned. Anyway, when I first got down here and started seeing these Etikans around, I was wondering also, why are there Colombian Etikanas in Peru and Peruvian Etikanas in Panama when it really seems there's no money in it? Well, this is where prejudice, classism, and cultural bias plays itself out. Turns out all the marketing agencies that hire these Etikans much prefer foreigners, that is, girls from other Latin countries. And in Latin America, you can always tell a person's from another country by their accent. And that's, of course, one of the ways you really know when your Spanish is decent, when you start picking up on those different accents. Say, hey, she's from Venezuela, or she's from Peru, or he's from Honduras, whatever. Now, as for me, I think the coolest, that is, most agreeable Latin accents are people coming from Venezuela and Dominican Republic. And the way they speak has a kind of a rhythm that other Latin people just don't have. And it's a funny thing when I run into someone from the DR. They say, what do you mean? What's different about the way we speak? Now, I'm not talking about formal Spanish here. I'm talking about conversational Spanish on the street. You can always tell a Dominican because they'll cut or just drop the last letter or two off of quite a few common words. In other words, they can pack more words and meaning into the tiniest of sentences. Let's take the word bus. Bus. In Spanish normally, but Dominicans will say bu. Where that letter S went, nobody knows, but it's gone. Vamos a bu. That means let's go take the bus. Vamos a bu. Takes a while for a gringo to get used to. Anyway, as mentioned, Latin publicity and ad agencies highly value Etikanas from other Latin countries, and they're easily distinguished by their accents. So, let's say Pepsi-Cola is having a big event. They call up the ad agency. The ad agency says, I'm sending over my best Etikans for you to have a look at. Well, a big company like Pepsi-Cola that has a lot of advertising money to spend, and inevitably the marketing guys will select Etikans from another country. And though they might pay twice as much, it doesn't matter because they seem to be more valuable than the local girls. Hey, I know, it doesn't make sense, but a lot of stuff just doesn't make much sense here in Latin America. So then you have to ask yourself, well, how did these beautiful Colombian girls end up in Panama? Or Venezuelan girls in Mexico? Well, as it turns out, some of the bigger agencies will actually recruit models and Etikans from a different Latin country, put them on contract for a year, get them a work permit visa, and set them up in a house in the new Latin country in which they'll be working. And so, and I've seen this for myself, there'll be a house with five beautiful Venezuelan, Colombian, or girls from Panama in it, all of them working on a year's contract to the same so-called modeling agency. All of them making around $1,000 a month. That's it. But, you see, they get room and board. They pay no rent. Now, it's not a glamorous house normally. It might even be in a low-end gated guarded community, but normally not. But for these ladies, it's their golden moment in time because those jobs obviously don't last long. They get their little moments of fame almost every day. And by the way, these girls work almost every day because they're under contract, they're getting a salary, and they are in high demand just because they're from another country and have that accent. By the way, that kind of system is a setup for hired feelings amongst the local Edicon ladies. They don't like that the foreigners are getting better jobs, a little higher pay, get free room and board, etc. And those foreign Edicons have a bit of an attitude. They know they've got the upper hand, that they're in demand, and they're getting a few more perks, which is why the local girls will say the foreigners are prepotente, basically stuck-up bitches. Oh, and by the way, I know a rich guy. Actually, he's not a very smart guy, but he's a child of the rich who owns an ad agency. His dad gave him one. The dad said, "Kid, you're over 25 now, and you need to actually do something. What do you want to do?" And the kid said, "An ad agency might be cool. Sounds like fun." So his dad bought him one. And he told me, as opposed to the general trend of tattoos here, if these Edicon ladies have tattoos, they're out of the running, unless they're very small and cute little stylish ones. But he said it doesn't matter even if a girl's a complete Miss Universe knockout. If she's got one of those shirt sleeve tattoos running all the way up her arm or all the way down her leg, she's not going to be much in the running. Because some companies, for example, like Disney, Coca-Cola, the higher-end booze and beer brands, and family restaurant chains like Chili's and Applebee's or Carl's Jr., when they have their events, they don't want girls with tattoos because that doesn't fit the image of the company. You know, more and more women are getting tattoos, and sometimes they'll say, "What's the significance of the one on your arm or your hand? Or the one snaking down your back?" Hey, that's a reasonable thing to ask someone. I mean, why would they have body art if they didn't want you to see it and ask about it, right? Anyway, a lot of them these days are saying, "Well, I'm thinking about having this or that one removed," which then generally leads to the discussion of the fact that it costs about 10 times as much and 10 times as much pain to have the thing removed. Yet when you had it done, it was such a cool moment of inspirational genius. Am I right?
You've been listening to the Expat Files, Living in Latin America. If you need some help with your own Plan B, you can schedule a one-on-one phone call with me. But first, download my free Plan B questionnaire at www.thenewexpat.com. Better yet, if you want to get your Plan B going from right up there in the States, just sign up for my 9-hour Expat Essentials course. Get the perfect Plan B blueprint by going to theexpatfiles.com/academy.